Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live and includes readings from Psalms and the Old and New Testament, as well as a reflection from our vicar, the Reverend Fabian Wirtz. We meet each Monday and Thursday at 9:15 on Zoom, and we invite you to join us. Simply sign in to Zoom using the number 856-0112-7207, and the password is 22 double four double six. You can sit back and listen or take part. Either way, we would love your company. Our readings today are taken from Psalm 2, Amos 1, and 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 17. And the reflection is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled "The Gospel is Christ Jesus."
So, going back to the Psalm, we are back at the very beginning, Psalm 2. The Lord is the strength of his people, a safe refuge for his anointed. Why are the nations in tumult, and why do the peoples devise a vain plot?
The earth rise up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed.
Let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cords from us.
He who dwells in heaven shall laugh them to scorn. The Lord shall have them in derision.
Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury.
Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion.
I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. This day have I begotten you."
Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be prudent, you judges of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, and with trembling kiss his feet. Lest he be angry and you perish from the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled.
Happy are all they who take refuge in him.
The Lord is the strength of his people, a safe refuge for his anointed. Most high and holy God, lift our eyes to your Son, enthroned on Calvary, and as we behold his meekness, shatter our earthly pride, for he is Lord forever and ever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. So we're starting today what is called the Minor Prophets. So we have kind of well-known prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, but there's also a whole series of little books in the Bible, a few chapters at times, of prophets that also had ministry, sometimes a more targeted ministry. And this is Amos. And so we're starting with chapter one of his book.
The words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, when he saw concerning Israel in the days of King Uzziah of Judah and in the days of King Jeroboam, son of Joash of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. And he said, "The Lord roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds wither, and the tops of Carmel dries up. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus, and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing sledges of iron. So I will send a fire on the house of Hazael, and it shall devour the strongholds of Ben-Hadad, and I will break the gate bars of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon, and the one who holds the scepter for Bethedan, and the peoples of Aram shall go into exile to Kir, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Gaza, and for 4, I will not revoke the punishment, because they carried into exile entire communities to hand them over to Edom, So I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, fire that shall devour its strongholds. And I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and one who holds the scepter from Ashkelon, I will turn my hand against Askron, and the remnant of the Philistines shall perish, says the Lord God. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they delivered entire communities over to Edom and did not remember the covenant of kinship. So I will send a fire on the wall of Tyre, fire that shall devour its strongholds. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because he pursued his brother with the sword and cast off all pity. He maintained his anger perpetually and kept his wrath forever. So I will send a fire on Teman, and it shall devour the strongholds of Bozra. Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of the Amorites and for four, I will not revoke the punishment, because they have ripped open pregnant women in Gilead in order to enlarge their territory. So I will kindle a fire against the wall of Rabbah, fire that shall devour its strongholds, with shouting on the day of battle, with a storm on the day of the whirlwind. Then their king shall go into exile, he and his officials together, says the Lord. This is the word of God.
Thank you very much, Joycey. Not an easy passage to read, both because of the names, but also its content. So well done. And then our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Again, we start in a new letter of Paul to those Christians living in Corinth.
Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our son Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that is given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in the spiritual gifts as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and that there should be no division among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I was baptized I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so very much. So as I said, the first reading is quite a difficult reading, certainly that last paragraphs where we hear the horror that happened in among the Ammonites who to conquer certain territories went even to do horrible things with pregnant women. I think, unfortunately, those realities are not just of the past, and they still do happen today. The main, I think, for me, thing that I take from the passage is that God is a God who sees. He's a God who knows, and he's a God of justice. And so here, the prophet speaks words of justice, words of judgment, and judgment in the sense that is always good news, because it's about bringing to light the wrongs of the people and the consequences. Now, as Christians, we know that the wrongs in our lives and the wrongs of the world has found a proper place where it's been dealt with, and that's the cross. And so Paul here, who speaks about being an apostle through the will of God, is all about proclaiming that gospel. And anything that goes into the way, he's quite passionate about correcting the Christians. He says, I've not come to baptize, but I have come to proclaim the gospel. Because baptism is just a sign, an outward sign of something that happens inwardly. The realization of what that gospel is about. What encourages me is that as we go through the book, or this letter to the Corinthians, we realize that this is a church with lots of troubles. And yet Paul starts by saying who they are in Christ. He says to the church of God that is in Corinth, so to all the believers there, those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And the Greek there, the kind of the verb that's used and the tense that's used, is those who have already been sanctified. They've been set aside already, and that's something that cannot be taken away. But once we are there, we are also then called to live out that new identity, to live out who we are truly in Christ. And so Paul then will address that, saying, because you have been set aside, because you have understood the gospel, because the Holy Spirit is now among you, and he says you've been richly given, enriched by God in speeches and in knowledge of every kind. And there is a famous passage of the spiritual gifts, and we can see how all those gifts were freely given to the Corinthians. So he says that you are lacking nothing in any spiritual gifts. God is faithful, he says. God will make it happen among you, but we still have work to do. We still have to open ourselves and to follow Jesus. So after this opening paragraphs to remind themselves of who they are in Christ, of what Jesus has done on their behalf and the call that's upon them, he goes to start addressing some of those very serious issues. And the first one is about divisions. Party. So in the church, some will say, well, I like this teaching or that teaching, so I belong to his thought or that idea. And so he speaks of those who would say, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Stephen. And then you have the very spiritual who say, well, I follow Jesus Christ. But it's all the danger of divisions within the local community or within the churches in general. I wonder in our context whether often we say, oh, I'm a Pentecostal, oh, I'm a free evangelical, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Church of England. When we say that, do we fall into the same trap to feel that, well, I belong to the church that is a bit more spiritual than the other ones? What is the gospel? The gospel is Christ. Christians are those who declare that in Christ, God revealed himself. In Christ, God became human, lived among us. In Christ, God brought about the forgiveness of our sins and conquered death. So Jesus, by living a perfect life on our behalf, by showing God's character and purposes, by dying our death, conquered sin and death. There is this amazing story in the Old Testament that the New Testament use to make us understand how are we reconciled to God. Because if we look at the first passage and the judgments, all of us are worthy of judgment. But how do we find reconciliation? And so in the Old, there was a story of Israel's disobedient and of a judgment. And the judgment was snakes coming and biting, and poisonous would kill those who were bitten. As a way of mercy, Moses had an iron rod with a serpent, iron serpent on it. And all they had to do was, in faith, recognizing that, well, they deserve to be bitten, and actually they deserve the punishment. But if they turned and looked at that iron in faith and in trust, the poisoned wooden accomplish its intended purpose, and they would live. And that picture is taken for how we look at the cross. In a sense, we all have been bitten by sin, and that poison is in us, and it leads to death. But those who turn their eyes to the cross in faith, trusting that through Christ, our sins and death has been dealt with once and for all, the promise is that they will live. And that's the gospel that, of course, in its more words, that Paul was proclaiming. And he wasn't proclaiming with big words and big arguments, although he knew the Old Testament and the New Testament. But he was demonstrating that those who turn in faith, something happened within them, a real transformation. The coming of God's presence in them, the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that they've been forgiven, the knowledge that they can live a different life through the strength of Jesus that walks with them, and the Holy Spirit that lives in them. And that was what he was proclaiming. And so for us as St. James, this start of the year is timed to pause and to reflect on the vision we believe has help us focus more intentionally on how we are called to live and to work together as a faith community. And so we have those three words: encountering, growing, and participating. Encountering God, finding regular rhythms where we take the time to learn from scripture, to listen to God, and to allow him to speak to us and to align us. We do that individually and as a community of faith. Growing as followers of Jesus, well, that's our call, to be faithful to God, to learn, to live a life that reflects God's purpose and intentions the way Jesus reflected his purpose and his intentions, and to participate in the life of the Spirit. We can't do that on our own strength. We need to remain in the vine, remain attached to God's life, and as we hear and are directed by God's Spirit, there is a promise of being strengthened and in power to make a difference in our world through our words and our actions. So as we take a time of prayer, let's pray for ourselves, the life of St. James, the life of the church. Let's ask God that he will again continue to reveal his purposes, his intentions. He will help us to have the right priorities in our lives and in the lives of our church, and that wherever we can, we, in the power of the Holy Spirit, will be good news to people, whether it's among our friends, families, neighbors, in this community, or even sometimes further around the world. So let's take a time to pray for the day and its task, the world and its needs, and for the church and her life. And Lind, something you want to say?
Yes, it was just, I was just minded when I was reading and you were reflecting on the second passage, that, and I just quickly looked it up. The week of Christian unity is, I knew it was sort of, I didn't know if it was this week, but actually it's next week, the 18th to the 25th. And there's material for it. So maybe, you know, that's something we could look to include. I don't know how, but maybe a mention on Sunday. I really don't. But we do need, we're united. We're stronger when we're united. And we know that to be the case.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for us to divide ourselves. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, it's called the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity.
But I think definitely Monday and Thursday at our morning prayer.
We can prepare the material
and we can announce it on Sunday for,
Yes, yeah. It's just so important.
Yeah.
And yes, I have to say the Old Testament pulled me up short, not least of what is happening currently in the world. So, you know, without going into it, it's, you know, the gospel is Christ Jesus. Thank God he sent him, you know, and, you know, he's in our lives. You've just got to stand and spread the word urgently. Anyway, that was all.
Thank you. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for the kindness you've shown by opening our eyes to who you are and what you've done on our behalf on the cross. Lord, forgive when we fall into the trap of comparing our churches and at times comparing our spirituality with others. Your call is always a call of grace and mercy. And we have nothing to show that would tell others that we are better than them.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.